Morning, we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 2, entitled Divinity and Divine Service, text number 6. The supreme occupation, or dharma, for all humanity is that by which men can attain to loving devotional service under the transcendent Lord. Such devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted to completely satisfy the self. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. In this statement, Sri Suta Goswami answers the first question of the sages of Naimisharanya. The sages asked him to summarize the whole range of revealed scriptures and present the most essential part, so that fallen people, or the people in general, might easily take it up. The Vedas prescribe two different types of occupation for the human being. One is the path called Pravritti Marg, or the path of sense enjoyment, and the other is called Nivritti Marga, or the path of renunciation. The path of enjoyment is inferior, and the path of sacrifice for the supreme cause is superior. The material existence of the living being is a diseased condition of actual life. Actual life is spiritual existence, or Brahma-bhuta existence, where life is eternal, blissful, and full of knowledge. Material existence is temporary, illusory, and full of miseries. There is no happiness at all. There is just the futile attempt to get rid of the miseries, and temporary cessation of misery is falsely called happiness. Therefore, the path of progressive material enjoyment, which is temporary, miserable, and illusory, is inferior. But devotional service to the Supreme Lord, which leads one to eternal, blissful, and all-cognizant life, is called the superior quality of occupation. This is sometimes polluted when mixed with the inferior quality. For example, adoption of devotional service for material gain is certainly an obstruction to the progressive path of renunciation. Renunciation, or abnegation, for ultimate good is certainly a better occupation than enjoyment in the diseased condition of life. Such enjoyment only aggravates the symptoms of disease and increases its duration. Therefore, devotional service to the Lord must be pure in quality, i.e., without the least desire for material enjoyment. One should therefore accept the superior quality of occupation in the form of the devotional service of the Lord without any tinge of unnecessary desire, fruitive action, and philosophical speculation. This alone can lead one to perpetual solace in his service. We have purposely denoted dharma as occupation because the root meaning of the word dharma is that which sustains one's existence. A living being's sustenance of existence is to coordinate his activities with his eternal relation with the Supreme Lord Krishna. Krishna is the central pivot of living beings, and he is the all-attractive living entity or eternal form amongst all other living beings or eternal forms. Each and every living being has his eternal form in the spiritual existence, and Krishna is the eternal attraction for all of them. Krishna is the complete whole, and everything else is his part and parcel. The relation is one of the servant and the served. It is transcendental and is completely distinct from our experience in material existence. This relation of servant and the served is the most congenial form of intimacy. One can realize it as devotional service progresses. Everyone should engage himself in that transcendental loving service of the Lord, even in the present conditional state of material existence. That will gradually give one the clue to actual life and please him to complete satisfaction. Savai pungsang paro dharmo yutho bhakti radhokshaje ahoitukya pratyata yatma supersedati. The supreme occupation or dharma for all humanity is that by which men can attain to loving devotional service unto the transcendent Lord. Such devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted to completely satisfy the self. There are many different types of many different processes for pursuing knowledge or truth described in the Vedas. In fact, there are six major categories known as Shat Darshan, or there is Karma Mimamsa philosophy, as authored by Jaimini. There is Kanada and his philosophy, logic, Gotama, Vedanta by Veda Vyas, many different paths. But Krishna personally has recommended to Arjuna devotional service. Bhakti amam abhijanati yavanyaschasmi tatata. One can only know me in truth as I am by pure devotional service. Now this is really the causeless mercy of the Lord, that he has made everything very simple for us. Otherwise, formerly, seekers of truth had to come to their own conclusions by sifting through everything and trying to come up with the essence. And it was a very laborious, difficult process, and of course, one could get distracted. For example, it is said, mukti bhukti siddhi kami shakali ashanta. Mukta, who's interested in becoming one with the Lord, in merging or in developing one of the five kinds of liberation, five different kinds of liberation that are offered even to Vaishnavas. Salokya, attaining the planet of the Lord. Sarupya, getting a body just like the Lord with all that opulence and beauty. Samipya, Sarshti, attaining the same planet as the Lord. So many different things. And of course, Sayuja, meaning merging with the Lord. Now, the devotee might accept four of them, but Sayuja, he will never, merging with the Lord, he will never accept. So, these are not goals. Mukti swayam, mukulitanjali sevate sman. They are fringe benefits. Like in a job, with a company. You get a basic salary and some other basic things. Then you may get various fringe benefits. Your company may be selling cars, so that as an employee they'll give you a car, which they'll either give to you to use or sell you at a very cheap price on gradual payment, or you may get free health insurance or any number of fringe benefits on the side, not the main reason for your taking the job. So liberation is with folded hands, waiting just to serve the devotee. The devotee doesn't need to worry separately, what about my freedom from material entanglement? What about my liberation? How will I achieve that? If he attains to pure devotional service, automatically his material needs are taken care of, his spiritual liberation is taken care of. Siddhi Kami. Sometimes people get distracted by a desire for mystic power. This may take the shape of desire for controlling others or acquiring things within the universe or achieving some type of great creation. There are ashta or eight siddhis, ashta siddhi, the eight major ones. Then there are 20 or 30 more commonly known ones which are available, different varieties of opulence which one can get when one becomes a transcendentalist. But if one gets distracted by those material opulences, and they are material opulences, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta had one German disciple who was formerly an engineer, or he was a professional, I believe it was engineer. He noted when he heard about the mystic perfections that modern science, modern technology has already achieved these. One can become lighter than air. So, an airplane. You can just fly in an airplane and you've achieved, I don't know, Lagima Siddhi, or I can't remember what it is to become lighter than air. I think it's Lagima. Or Prapti Siddhi, or there's one Siddhi where you can enter into a mountain. So you drive anywhere in Europe and you drive through so many tunnels, and modern science has already achieved that Siddhi for all intents and purposes. Of course, you may come to a mountain that doesn't have a tunnel, and it may be convenient to go through it by your siddhi, but the point is that these things are material, and those who get absorbed in them, they forget the ultimate goal. So a devotee does not want to risk getting distracted. He simply wants to attain service to Krishna, service to the Vaishnavas, pure devotional service. And by that attainment, he's not bereft of anything. In the Bhagavad Gita, I believe it's the second chapter, Krishna says, to those who are devoted to me and worship me with love, I carry what they lack. They need anything for their maintenance or sustenance, I provide them. And whatever they already have, I protect that. His name is Yogakshema. Carries what they lack and protects what they have. So a devotee doesn't need to fear that he is going to be bereft of anything by giving up his material life and taking to devotional service. And even if he has a fear that if I don't complete devotional service, if I don't become fully free, uncontaminated, if I, along the way, I fall down, well, I'm like a rent cloud. I've spoiled my material life. I didn't complete my college degree and get some work experience. And I didn't complete spiritual life, so I'm lost completely. But the Vedas instruct us that no, that's not true. Tyaktva swadharmam charanam bhujamare. Tyaktva, having given up swadharma, your occupational duty, for devotional service, charanam bhujamare, bhajana pakvo ta patetato yadi. Even if your bhajan is apakha in India, you go to India, you'll hear this word pakka. You know, if you have an appointment with someone and they'll say, is that pakka? Is that fixed? Or if you buy some fruit, you know, people will ask you, this is pakka, it's ripe. Apakka means it's not ripe yet. So, bhajan apakvota patetato yadi. Yatra kvava vadrama buddha mushikim kovartapto bhajatam swadharmataha. You've not lost anything. First of all, even if you don't complete your devotional service, whatever you have completed, you never lose that. For example, it may have occurred to you, looking around, that we have done something very unique. It's not that we have just come to a club and we've taken out a membership and, you know, we go 3 times a week and sometimes we go on vacation and we don't go to the club. And after we leave school, we forget about the club and whatever. Not like that. We've actually come here, taken a way of life which is totally foreign to our culture, and we've immersed ourselves in it practically. And the rituals are completely foreign to us, and yet we've adopted them almost fanatically. A lot of things we don't understand completely. We haven't had a real cultural conversion, and yet we've immersed ourselves in this. Now, where is that coming from? It's not that we have taken to devotional service for the first time. Our participation at this level of the beginning of a transcendental reformation, which will last for thousands and thousands of years, and we're right at the beginning, pioneers, it is because we have had some contact with this culture and with devotional service in a previous lifetime, and therefore we've gone right through so many stages and come right to the essence. We're here, and slowly, I'm seeing a lot more because I started when we had nothing. There was no question of opportunities for devotees to get involved in astrology or Indian dance or art, painting. I mean, that all came much later. And even now, we haven't seen the depth and the beauty of the culture. We've only heard or seen some movies, but as our society grows, there'll be so many more wonderful opportunities for devotees to experience the richness, the sweetness and the richness of this process of bhakti yoga. Bhakti yoga is the essence, but there is a wonderful supportive culture. And unless you're a 100% pure devotee, totally aloof from everything, for most of us, we require a community to live in while we progress gradually, step by step, in our spiritual life. And that community arrangement should be supportive of our central theme, to develop love of God. So, one who takes up devotional service but doesn't complete it, he's not bereft. But in the next life, again, Suchinam Srimatam Gehe Yoga Bhashto Vijayate, he gets opportunity to take birth, especially in the human form of life. Someone who performs any devotional service is guaranteed of a human birth. It's the first thing. And, you know, guaranteed. I don't know if there's an 800 number, you know, you can, if you didn't get your human birth, you can call up, but I don't know, they say guaranteed. But it's reasonable, because according to your yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tyajati ante kalevaram, according to your mind's desire at the time of death, the subtle body carries the soul into another gross body. So that part of it sounds very reasonable, very rational. And the main focus, we'll never forget in our whole life, we'll never forget our days in devotional service. If we continue, then these will become the good old days. And even if we don't continue, and we try to exploit material nature again, this happens sometimes. People are in distress. They take up devotional service. Their distress problem is ameliorated or taken care of. And then they foolishly think, let me go back and try again to enjoy to chew a little more on the chewed, to lap up the nectar of the wet stool. And but you'll always remember, and especially at death, you'll remember those days of chanting and associating and sobriety, the days when you were sober, your body was not intoxicated constantly, and you had a clear brain, clear, and you'll always remember that. And so in your next birth, you become a yoga brashta, a yogi who again takes up devotional service. You get a human birth and you'll get an opportunity to render devotional service, so there's no loss. So therefore, of the two paths, pravritti and nivritti, here nivritti is described by Srila Prabhupada as sacrifice in the cause of attaining the Supreme. Nivritti actually means renunciation, but there are different kinds of renunciation. We discussed in class about renunciation in the mode of passion in Bhagavad Gita, and renunciation in the mode of ignorance or austerity in the mode of ignorance, and how people perform very heavy austerities not prescribed in scripture, which torture the body and even create a disturbance for the super soul. And such persons who undertake unprescribed austerities out of false ego, they are of the nature of demons. It's demoniac, although it may appear that they're very serious about renunciation, but it's done in a sense of false pride, false ego. and they don't make advancement spiritually. They simply srama eva hi kevalam. It's not pleasing to Krishna. The goal is svanustitasya dharmasya sanksidir haritoshanam. Devotional service is not another way of getting material enjoyment. Devotional service here, it's described as bhaktir adhoksaje. Adhoksaje means unto the transcendence, or unto adhoksaja, Krishna. Krishna's another name. The 1,008 names of Vishnu Sahasranam, so one of his names is adhoksaja. So bhakti means to Krishna. Although bhakti could be used, technically you could say that bhakti to my wife, or bhakti to my school, or bhakti to devotion, love and devotion to any material thing. But here it is clarified, bhakti adhoksaje, that is what yatma supersedati, that is what is pleasing to the self. And to make sure that such bhakti is properly understood, it is clarified here, it must be ahoituki, without any motive, without any expectation of reward, and it must be uninterrupted. Ahoituki, we can understand fairly easily. It's a standard of love. You give everything. You also get everything, but you don't expect it. If you give with the idea of some reward, that's business. That's not bhakti, that's business. Just like a merchant may serve his customers, but he's not expecting that the customers will just take his service and not pay for the product. They have to pay. The customer knows he has to pay, and the merchant knows that the customer has to pay. But to attract customers and to make the whole experience more satisfying, he will learn how to serve the customers. And that's a business, it's a marketing technique, a business technique, a management technique. It's business. So we do not do that for God. We do not perform devotional service expecting to get something. Or if we do, we hope we'll get purified of that. We want to come to the platform of totally unmotivated. Spontaneous love is unmotivated. Spontaneous love, it's the only real definition of love. You can understand it in your own experience. Whoever you have loved, whether it be your mother, father, your husband, your wife, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, just your friends or your children, any type of desire for exploitation, for getting something, it pollutes the experience. You know it yourself. You live with it because there's nothing that you know better, but you know that it's not as sweet as it could be. Real love is love that from my side is complete giving. And of course, there will be some kind of reciprocation. It's not that we love Krishna endlessly and he doesn't reciprocate. He does reciprocate. We do get experience. Everybody who has taken the bhakti yoga at any time in the past or present will testify that Krishna comes even closer. You give him 5%, he'll give you much more than 5%. He does reciprocate on the basis of your desire, but he's more anxious than you to have a relationship with you. Coming himself, he's sending his servants, he's giving us scriptures. We're the belligerent persons who disobey him foolishly. Belligerent means acting against our self-interest in defiance of good advice we've been given. We get some good advice and our reaction is to reject it without even examining it. Just the idea that someone is giving me some advice, thinking that I'm less than what I should be, that I'm not perfect. How dare they give me advice? I know everything already. So Krishna is telling us, surrender to me. And people reject it out of hand without considering. In fact, this is interesting. Material scientists say that they are pursuing only knowledge which they can analyze and verify by scientific process. But when you present the science of bhakti yoga, they immediately reject it as if they know everything. They don't apply their scientific process to bhakti. Now, in these days, more and more, there are a group of scientists who are taking a deeper look at metaphysical things because their formulas, their material laws and their material formulas have not borne the fruit that they were supposed to. They have not provided answers to so many questions about the nature and origin of our existence. So they're looking closer. But until you take up the process of bhakti yoga under the guidance of a pure devotee and get trained how to be free from motivation, even free from the desire for knowledge, speculative knowledge, anyavilasita shunyam, jnana karmadi anavritam, anukulyena krishna anushilanam bhaktir uttama. It must be anukul or favorable to Krishna. And any devotional service that is mixed with desires, material desires for karma or jnana, Krishna doesn't accept that. The spiritual master is more kind than Krishna. He may accept it and purify us, instruct us, and offer it, but you cannot go to Krishna unless you are completely free from motivation and you are intense enough. You are real. You're not a cheater. The world is full of cheaters. Maybe you've been cheated in your life, or maybe you have cheated others. Joining the status quo, I mean, everybody does it. We've been trained, do unto others before they do it to you. If you don't get ahead in life by stepping on others, then someone's going to step on you. We've been trained in the rat race mentality. There's only enough to go around for a few people. It's a fact. You look at society. Very few people really have material opulences. We have been fortunate enough to be born relatively better off than the majority. but 75-80% of the world live in comparison to us, they live in abject poverty. Of course, there's gradations all the way down, but we don't know how much we have, and we don't know how much others have. There are people who are completely in a dream world and don't be envious of them, because such persons find it almost impossible to surrender to God. It is easier to assist or encourage an elephant or a camel to jump through the eye of a needle, which is like a ridiculous proposition, but it was quoted by Jesus Christ. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God, because they can't give up their attachments. They're just too conditioned. They've got this feeling of power that comes with having money and material opulence. It's like a drug, and you think that you don't have to surrender. It's better to be poverty-stricken, because then a sadhu can easily come to your house. You can understand what he's talking about when he says, Dukalayama Shasvatam Apunar. What is that? Apunar Napnuvanti. One never takes birth again in this material world, which is miserable and temporary. Anyway, in the 8th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Anyone has a Bhagavad Gita? Why don't you look it up in the first few verses? The material world is a miserable place. What people call happiness is just the temporary cessation of misery. Getting a little intoxicated and forgetting. Just like we were reading about this devotee who has cancer. And generally what they do in the last stages of such a disease is they pump the person full of morphine so they forget that they're diseased. Mamupetya punar janma. One who comes to me, he doesn't take birth. Dukhalayam ashasvatam natnuvanti mahatmana sanksidim paramam gataha. After attaining me, the great souls who are yogis in devotion never return to this temporary world, which is full of miseries, because they have attained the highest perfection. 8:15. So, if we haven't learned it already, we can take it on authority. There is nothing in this material world worth giving your life for. It's all just akasha pushpa, flowers in the sky. In other words, there's no system. You've never seen flowers growing in the sky, I don't think. It's all just phantasmagoria, will-o'-the-wisp. There's no real happiness here. And you can meditate on it. Don't accept it blindly. As I've said before, keep your eyes open, look around, study situations. People come to the marketplace with a smile on their face, but follow them home. You know, when they get home and their wife is screaming at them and the children are crying and the creditors are knocking on the door and the landlord wants to evict and just lost his job, you know, he goes out for a party, I'm as happy as anybody else. But go a little deeper, you'll see that everyone is tortured, more or less. And if they're not suffering right now, Give them a few days or hours or months. It'll change because everybody's moving like that. Sometimes in a valley, sometimes on a plateau, again in the valley, sometimes head above the water, sometimes pushed below the water, sometimes out of breath, sometimes enjoying breath. We're turning on a wheel, chakra, and up and down, one body to another. Simply illusory happiness, but if we strive for devotional service, svanustitasya dharmasya, which is pleasing to Krishna, then, and even if we svalpamapyasya dharmasya, even if we only attain a little perfection, it'll protect us from the greatest fear of going down into lower species of life. I mean, somebody's got to be in those species. Someone's got to be a dog, otherwise there'd be no dogs. Someone's got to be a cat. Someone's got to be a, you know, donkey. Who's going to do that? Any volunteer? No, you're forced to go there according to your consciousness. So, make your consciousness Krishna consciousness. And that is devotional service. And you can understand it by your own realization. As you progress, you will realize that Krishna is your friend and your only shelter. Okay. I'm going to stop there. Are there any questions, comments? Grunther up. Okay.
Why when we sell Krishna and devotees, like what more we should have? Sometimes by serving we also offend.
We also?
Offend other Vishnu.
Well, in any kind of service, it's a given, or it is understood that it is causeless mercy we have this opportunity. This is our understanding. So we're not really qualified for anything. But somehow, by the mercy of Guru and Gauranga, we're now engaged as Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis. So we should really pray to the Lord with feeling, please forgive any offenses. And it shouldn't be a cliche. You know, cliche shouldn't be just an automatic expression. Just like many devotees write to the spiritual master or make an offering at Vyas Puja time, and being a little inexperienced at that kind of thing, a lot of times in their offering, they, you know, look at somebody else's in the past. Oh, I should write that. Oh, okay, I'll write that. Oh, Guru Dev, please forgive me all my offenses. They don't. It's not coming from the heart. It's just, oh, that's a good offering there. Oh, that. You should feel that you have been engaged by causeless mercy, and the spiritual master or Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, they know that you're not qualified, but still you've gotten an opportunity. So thank the Lord for this opportunity and pray sincerely that you don't commit offenses, but go on. If you've been given an opportunity and you don't take it out of some false humility or, you know, lack of, just due to inertia, due to the opportunity has come, beyond your control. It is the desire of the Lord that you have got an opportunity to serve. That means the Lord wants you to take it. If someone extends you an opportunity and you think in false humility, no, I won't take it, that opportunity may not be extended to you again. You take whatever chance you get in this life, in any way, any opportunity, take it and make progress. You have to, you know, it's, in one sense, it's people want to avoid responsibility, so they want to remain in a neutral position. But there is no neutral position. Either you're making progress in devotional service, or you're again becoming covered by the material energy. So devotees have to be proactive and they have to be aggressive. And if you're given a chance, take it. If you hear that devotional service is being sold in the marketplace, immediately go and purchase. Give whatever price you have to give. Yeah, of course you're going to make mistakes, but Krishna will correct those. He says, apichet sudracharo, even if you don't even commit little mistakes. I'm happy when someone endeavors to become Krishna conscious, even if they have problems later on, but they've tried. There's a saying, better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all. So better to have tried for Krishna's love and not completed, because Krishna will never let you go, than to have remained in a safe position and not have tried, thinking, well, I didn't commit any offenses. Well, you didn't get any pious credit either. So what's your advantage? We throw prasadam from the Rath cart. So someone pointed out, oh, it's offensive to prasadam, falling on the ground. And Prabhupada said, yes, maybe. But the benefit of distributing prasadam to someone is so great that the little offense, or the whatever type of offense, prasadam on the ground, you know, you come out much more ahead. You've benefited people. You have distributed Krishna consciousness. And Krishna himself says that those who preach, they're very dear to me. Priya Kritama. So never be shy about endeavoring or trying. But pray that you don't make too many offenses. That's, of course, even if you become perfect. Once we went to a program with Srila Prabhupada. I've told you this before, but there's some things in your life that just are so brilliant, so effulgent, that they come up in your mind again and again. And I can just see it now. We went to the wealthy man's house, huge house, so many cars, more cars than we have, 10 times the cars we have in our parking lot, and many more Mercedes also. We only have one in our parking lot. Whose car is that? Huh? Who's the Mercedes? Yours? No. Okay, anyway, it looks cool. But big man, big house, so many servants. Not just one central house, but there are many houses in the best area of Bombay, wealthiest area. On the way home, back to Juhu, Prabhupada said, whenever I go to the house of a wealthy man, I always pray to Krishna, please don't let me fall down. So we were shocked afterwards. We were talking, why did Why did Prabhupada say that? Prabhupada will never fall down. Prabhupada is a pure devotee. Why did he say that? And then someone suggested, and we realized the reason Prabhupada will never fall down is because he's always praying to Krishna, please don't let me fall down. So you can also always pray, please don't, even though, you know, you, maybe you are not committing any offenses, maybe you're doing nice service, but always pray to Krishna, please protect me from Vaishnava Aparad, from Guru Aparad, from Seva Aparad, from whatever, somebody from Pizza Aparad. There are 20 offenses. I think I left a copy of them here last time I was here. The Pizza Aparads. No? No, I'll print them out for you. Came from, compiled by, not Satyavrat Muni, but by Gunagrahi Swami. Did he come here, Gunagrahi Maharaj? Has he been to Lubyanya? He's the Pizza Acharya in this country. You remember Gunagrahi? He was in Bombay? Oh, you weren't there. We had this pizza party at Bhaktivedanta Hospital. I think I'd just gotten released or something. Anyway, he came and another one of my godbrothers was expert. And they actually taught some of the devotees there how to, you know, make the perfect pizza. Didn't have all the best ingredients, but somehow they managed them. It was really good. It was right at that point that my health started getting better.